First Peter chapter 1, please. For 2 weeks now on growth and grace. Last Sunday night's sermon was two simple ideas. Growth is possible. But according to your associate pastor, and according to the senior pastor, you don't see much of it. Secondly, we said that it was a process. It is not something that happens in a moment. And by the way, friends, if you grow up in those environments, you don't. Please don't tell me you've never heard. Some people look at me like, what are you talking about? Folks, I know where some of you came from. You do know that. I know what they teach there. You know, if you had anything to do with Dallas Theological Seminary and any place that influenced, which is all the Bible colleges and all the movements that are Bible church oriented, you grew up under carnal Christian, which is okay, because most people are just carnal, and then a few people dedicate themselves and they're now spiritual. Lord only knows what that means. Number three, we started this morning, and I'm going to walk through every major bullet point in about 2 minutes. Got it? I said this morning, growth is both personal and preceptive. Personal meaning it's about a relationship with the Lord, and it's a relationship with the precepts of the Bible. So it is both personal and preceptive. That's the very top of your notes. I asked the question, it's down towards the bottom of the first page, so what does this look like? If you want to know what Pastor Warren is looking for, please look at me. I am not interested in most of you going to Central Baptist Theological Seminary. Frankly, most of you don't have the mind for it. That would be like me going to conservatory to learn how to sing. Don't have the voice. But my friend, that's not what a Christian, what we're looking for most people. Certain people should go to a place like Central Seminary, a place like that, because they're called, gifted, and other things. But all of us ought to have these concepts. So, in your notes, quickly, we're just going to walk through them before we stand and read. There ought to be a familiarity with all of Scripture and doctrine. And I do not think that's asking too much of any Christian. So if I ask you tonight, what's First Chronicles about? You shouldn't look at me like, first, look at me. Hey, look up here. You shouldn't look at me and say, did you say 1 Chronicles? Like you've never been around Christianity in your life. You ought to know the Scripture. Secondly, I said there ought to even be more than that. There ought to be an affinity, meaning there's a real love affair, and a veracity where you're just consumed with Scripture. That should be kind of normal of all Christians. Next, on the next page. I wish I had time to go back through this, but I do not. Number three, there ought to be the ability to digest meat as well as milk. My friend, there are far too many churches. I say it again, when I was in Bible college, I heard this hundreds of times. Keep the cookies on the bottom shelf, which meant keep people as an infant. I've had people come to this church and say this, Pastor Warren is hard to follow. Now, what you really mean is Pastor Warren saying things, and you're not used to ideas and reasoning. You're used to the pastor getting emotional, saying, I love you, Jesus. I don't know why he would say that, except to manipulate you. So, look at me, friend. Look at me. If you're not capable of digesting meat, and all you can do is stay like you were first saved the first week, what's wrong? That's not what we're looking for. Number four, and I'm just going to move past this. I say number four, there ought to be a sensibility and clarity in teaching others. There ought to be a sensibility and a clarity in teaching others. I say in your notes, some names just come to my mind for giving counsel that will always be biblical, helpful, sensible. It will make sense even if it cannot answer all the questions, and there's a misprint here, or solve all the problems. Makes no difference. Please look at me. If someone is having problems, there are people I'm going to send them, those people to. Not that I think they can solve every problem, but I already know. Listen, Noel Hippolito sits over here. He's preaching today. If you send someone to Noel Hippolito, he is never going to say what one woman in this church is consumed with. You need to pray about it. This woman talked to herself in Sunday school for an entire 45 minutes and in church over one issue. Because do you ever notice people? You don't notice people talking to themselves when I'm preaching, because some of you are sleeping. She didn't hear anything. By the way, I would never send anybody to this woman because she doesn't have any biblical answers. When someone by the name of Sharon Vasilovich was here, why do you think I would send people to her rather than you? Because she had something to say from the scripture, as opposed to her feelings, her opinions, and stupidity. By the way, I send people to Duncan over here. I send people to several people. They're just names. It's like those people are going to give sensible, biblical answers. And if they don't know everything, they can point them kind of the right direction. They'll have other people help. Look at me. Have you ever wondered why I never asked your opinion of anything? And you never have. Because I know you don't have answers. Sorry. That's tough, isn't it? Answer the question. That's tough, isn't it? That means your maturity level is so low, you don't have answers to biblical problems that people face. And that's an embarrassment. We'll move to the next page, because I'm not going to preach the sermon. Number 5. Tonight's message will hook up to number 5. There has to be a tenacity. You know what tenacity is? You tell one of our little children that you're going to give them chocolate tonight. Forget tonight. I tell some of them during the week, wait till Sunday, I'll give you chocolate. They walk in the church building remembering what I said 4 days before. There's a tenacity in and a tenacity of application. A Christian that is mature is always looking how to apply the scripture. So should I ask people that slept through the sermon this morning, what are the 3 activities?
Uh-oh.
One of them had something about telling the... One of them had something to do with finding God's purposes in the past. The other one had something to do with letting God or allowing God to take care of the past. By the way, folks, if you come to me for counseling, guess what you're going to get? Same things I preach in church. All I can give you is truth. I don't have anything else. If you're not willing to obey the truth, then why would I counsel with you? I say in your notes, this, of course, totally eliminates the I feel like I'm growing talk. You are growing or you're not, and it's obvious to everybody. Let's stand, please. We'll just look in your notes and read these verses together. Number 4, growth is what? Now, Pastor Warren is going to do something for you. I'm going to tell you the worst news of the night in a moment and the best news. Actually, it's better than best. It's the very best news. Are you ready? Be a minute. As many as I love, I what? So if you haven't been rebuked lately, what does that mean? He must not love you. He also chastens us. The Bible says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Proverbs 3. I hope you have this memorized. Hebrews quotes this more or less. This is found in Deuteronomy, it's found in Job, it's found in Psalm, it's found in Proverbs, it's also found in Hebrews. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Psalm 119 says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Psalm 119, verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou, you, Lord, in faithfulness have afflicted me. There is something about growth that pain is part of it. Now, we're going to spend a lot of time. You're going to hear a couple of good stories. I'm going to try to be done by quarter after. You're going to hear about Mrs. Hall. She is my idol in one area. You're going to figure this out. You know, and if you listen to me, you're even going to want her to do for you what I want her to do for me, but she won't. We're going to talk about growth being painful. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this lovely day. It is a beautiful thing to gather here and try to encourage each other, try to learn the Word of God, and try to understand how we grow. Help us this evening to kind of bring all these truths to our mind, to our heart, where we actually have heard some things and understand some things about growth. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So everyone look at me. We have said growth is possible. Yes? But not for Jennebug. We have also said that it is a process. Much like a child, you start as a child and you grow up over time. There's times you grow quickly, there's times you grow slowly, and after you get to full maturity, you start growing in other ways. But growth is possible. We said this morning that growth is personal and preceptive. It deals with the Lord and His Word, and tonight we say it is painful. Well, there's a story that I think only one person in this room knows. It's not a secret. There was a guy, his name sounds like Wilbur, but it wasn't Wilbur. It was Wilmer. W-I-L-M-U-R. His last name was McLean or McLean. Wilmer McLean lived in the state of Virginia. He was 47 years old when the Civil War started. He was too old to be part of the war, so he had a business. I think he sold sugar or something. And he was just trying to do his, you know, take care of his family, do his stuff, and stay out of stuff. The first major battle of the Civil War was the battle of, it's according where you're from. If you're from the good side, it's the Battle of Bull Run. If you're from the other side, it's the Battle of Manassas. It was in Virginia. It was the first major battle of the Civil War. That battle started in his front yard. Fact is, one of the Southern generals made his headquarters in Wilmer McLean's house. While they were making a meal, a cannonball was shot and went either through the roof or someplace. It might have gone through the chimney and ruined the meal. So here he was, minding his own business. This is the bad news, folks. And the war started in his front yard at Manassas or Bull Run. Wilmer McLean got an idea. He thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get myself away from this war. I'm going to move away from Northern Virginia because most of the battles, unless you're sleeping, folks, were fought in two locations, up and down the Mississippi. So whoever controlled that controlled transport. And they were fought in Northern Virginia. There were other battles, but those were the two big areas. He said, you know, I'm going to move away because I want to get away from the war. You all know this story, don't you? I know Sparky does. So Wilmer McLean, after the Battle of Bull Run, by the way, I'm assuming you know there were two of them, fought in the same place. He said, I am going to move away from this battle scenes. So he picked his family up and moved 120 miles, which in those days is a long way. He moved 120 miles to get away from the war. 4 years later, he lived in a little city called Appomattox Courthouse. And the Civil War began in his front yard and it ended in his front parlor. His 120 miles, he was at the beginning of the war and the end of the war. That's the bad and the bad. By the way, they stole everything in his house. Everything they say that wasn't tied down or nailed down was stolen. The table that General Grant drew up the articles on, Phil Sheridan paid Wilmer McLean $20, which is worth a lot of money in those days, and he gave it to a relative of mine to put it on his horse to take it away, and it never got there. That relative of mine gave it to his wife. Now, are you ready for the bad news? Are you ready? I'm going to give you bad news and then very, very, very good news. Are you ready? Look in your notes. Growth, maturity, spirituality can be all the craze. Everybody's being pious. We're doing Bible study. 3 minutes after the Bible study, you don't know a single thing. I'm going to tell you what's necessary for true growth in grace. There are exactly four parts. Are you ready? Number one, time. T-I-M-E. There is nothing that you can do to avoid T-I-M-E. If you ask me how much time, I say, what would this normally mean? I would say minimally a decade. Now, for some folks, a decade ain't helped a bit. But for normal Christians, look at me, folks. Look up here. You look around this room at people that have been saved in the years that I've been here, and you'll see people look at me. I'm going to pick on him. I love the guy. Tim Durham got saved here 10, 11 years ago. Anybody that has a brain knows he's different than most of the other folks sleeping in the church. Listen, I love Tim. Tim has gifts that I don't even understand. Tim's not an intellectual. This is not a guy with a PhD. But guess what? Just kind of spending time in the Bible, spending time in church, spending time around other Christians, over a decade does good things to you. Yes? So what's up with you? Next. There's only four parts. It's time with the Lord. It's not just time, unfortunately. Time by itself is just, you're just, as Pastor Koch so meanly said last week, people don't get better, they get worse. There are a lot, look up here, folks, there are lots of people that have been here all 20 years I've been here, and they're no different. I cannot see any appreciable difference than when I came, except maybe they're worse. Now, you say, that's harsh. Folks, look at me. I don't know what else to say. Hey, look up here. If someone said that to me, I would be infuriated. And you sleep right through it. Doesn't bother you a bit. Doesn't bother you a bit that you couldn't help a single person in need. I don't know what else to say. You've got to realize, somebody came to me and said, Ralph, in 5 years you haven't learned any more to help people, you would have one guy fired up. For you? It's time with the Lord. How about this one? This is a real genius. In his what? Yeah, it's got to be, it's part of the Bible, folks. And then there's a fourth piece, and I'm sorry to tell you this, but remember I told you I'm going to tell you the worst news, and this is the worst news. Are you ready? If you're going to grow, are you ready? There's always going to be this little word, P-A-I-N. There is no growth watching television after church or playing your video games or looking at Facebook. You don't grow without pain. So you say, how does a person grow? Tim Durham, I'm going to say this to you without going into any detail. I know one of the reasons you've grown. Do you know the reason? It's been an element of pain in your life, and you know exactly what it is. And I love you, buddy. And that piece of pain motivates you in weird ways. By the way, nobody grows apart from time with the Lord in His Word and some kind of pain. It's just the way it is. That's the bad news, the pain part. What's the good news? I put three little stars there so you don't miss it. By the way, all of those together are going to equal what? Please look up here, and I'm going to move on to the very, very good news. Please look at me. I will wait. If you wonder why you really haven't grown, it's going to be one of these are missing. Oftentimes, do you realize Pastor Warren is not as dumb as I look? How many of you know that? Do you realize I recognize people are at church but not in church? Do you know I know who they are? Yes or no? They show up, but they're always in the nursery, always teaching. Do you think I'm stupid? And you wonder why they haven't grown. They've had the time, but it hadn't been with the Lord, and it hasn't been in the Word, therefore, and the pain. I don't know if they've had pain, but there's no growth. You've got to have the four. In your notes, here's the caveat, and here is the very good news. Then, there is the very good news. The pain does not have to be your pain. It can be someone else's pain. You can grow immensely
by observing or reading, because all of a sudden you read about this individual that went through this tremendous suffering, and look at me, don't play with your notes. You know what's going on, and you experience their pain vicariously. You don't have to suffer everything on your own.
Why do you think I encourage you to do something like reading? Pastor Kwok told me he has to get the books that I recommended. Here's the problem. The books I recommended on child rearing have been read by the people in this church who already are excelling with their children. And the other folks are still sleeping.
By the way, folks, you know why I read? I don't want to have to figure it all out myself. If someone else has been through it, I'll learn through their pain. Hello? Do I have to hit my head 50 times when there's 49 guys before me that's hit their head? I think I can observe and say, ah. Now I'm going to speak.
76. 75, 76, I transferred to Bethesda Naval Hospital to go to school. We went to school year-round, of course, full-time, and it was a mess. When I got there, I come from Paris Island. Are you all listening to me? I'm talking about pain doesn't have to be yours. When I got there that night, or that day, I checked in. They took us to the 12th floor. Well, they actually asked us the question, can you type? Because basically there was a couple weeks before school started and they didn't want you to just do nothing. So you're either going to be one of those guys taking trash out or mopping floors or buffing floors. But if you could type, they'd put you someplace where you could do something a little more interesting. Well, I could type. So they sent me up to the 12th floor, and on the 12th floor they did a bunch of paperwork. So I typed. I've been there a few days and somebody walks up to me. Like sailors do. Where are you from? Well, I just came from Beaufort. Just came from Paris Island. First words out of that guy's mouth was, I hate this place. I wish I was there. I can't wait to get out. This is the worst place I've ever been. Hold on. What did I just heard at Beaufort? This is the worst place I've ever been. I hate this place. I would be a stumble-down moron not to learn wherever you are, that's your favorite place. Here is no better than there. Because when you get there, guess who's there? You are. And you're right back to there becomes here. And then you're looking for a new there. I learned that in one setting at Bethesda Naval Hospital. And I didn't have to learn it 400 times. I didn't have to, God have to beat me half to death. So look at me. When I was in St. Louis, every person in that church would have believed correctly that was my favorite place I've ever been. When I came here, I've said this. Some of you don't believe me. There's no place I'd rather live than right here. You say, well, I want to live by the ocean. Oh, shut up. Some of you want to move to Texas. God bless your little pinhead. Have you been hearing what's happening down there? Pete Vasilovich doesn't know what's... I mean, it's flooded so much. By the way, but if I lived in Texas, guess what? No, I wouldn't live in Texas. I cannot lie there. I cannot go there. Look at me. Look at me. You're telling me you can never learn anything except God has to beat you half to death. You can learn from other people's pains and other people's stupidity. Amen? So look at me. When I hear somebody's been here, a sailor comes here, and the first words out of their mouth, like one little dwerb that came here, he said over here, he literally greeted me. He stuck out his hand and says, I'm going to be here 3 years. I'm going back to Hawaii. It's like, what are you going to do in the 3 years in between? By the way, he didn't like Hawaii either. He just didn't like it where he was. I learned that quickly. I didn't have to experience it again. Are you ready? Now we come to the sermon. By the way, the sermon's simple. I do believe that all growth has to have time with the Lord in the Word and pain. But again, remember, it doesn't have to be your pain. That's the nice part. So how does this work in your notes? The first way pain works is this. Growth out of pain.
Sometimes God puts us right in the middle of stuff, and it's out of that pain that we grow. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Look at me. You will never know about the God that can bring comfort to your life until you have suffered, or until you have read about suffering in someone else's life. Doesn't have to be your pain, but a great deal of pain, look at me, growth comes out of suffering. Look at the next verse. This God, the God of all comfort, comforteth us. Comfort's a big word. Encourages, strengthens, that sort of thing. He comforts us in all of our tribulation. For what purpose? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So you say, Pastor Warren, I want to be one of those Christians that can help people. What do you think you're going to help people with? Medication you don't know what it's good for? You're going to be able to help people because you have had pain, and out of that pain, God has taught you, comforted you, strengthened you, encouraged you, and out of all of that stuff, you're able then, from that what you have learned, to help other people. The growth comes out of the pain. I've said this many times. In the past, we've had, and we will in the future, have groups from Bob Jones, Maranatha come here. And they'll have a good singing group, and one of the young men will get up and preach. His sermon will be truly perfect. First of all, it's 15 minutes long. That is the nature of a perfect sermon. Number two, it has perfect alliterated points. Everyone begins with a P. And when you get done, unless you're sleeping, you will think, what's wrong with that sermon? Life. That's what's wrong with that sermon. Young people, Maranatha, Bob Jones, Central Seminary, Detroit Seminary, great places. There's only one thing they can't do for you. They can't give you a life. I wanted to be a great preacher when I was a young guy. I've given up on that. But I wanted to be able to help people. The only help I've ever had, I preached some of it this morning. I wonder, you say, you learned it from the Bible. I learned it via my own suffering. And I learned about, as my daughter said, providence of God today when we went home to eat. I learned about the providence of God and in the sovereignty of God in the middle of great pain. Look at me. You think you're going to offer somebody something? So why do you think I never send anybody your way for counseling? Because you've had your pain and you've never learned anything and you have nothing to offer them. I learned about divine sovereignty in pain. I learned about forgiveness and reconciliation in pain. I learned about God's purposes in pain. Next page, please. We have talked. These are the four ways we grow dealing with pain. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's growth out of pain. Jim Duncan, I think you've had some form of cancer. Is that right? That didn't slow you down a bit, did it? Didn't cause you to think? Here's a tragedy, folks. Some people never learn anything, but some people do. And if you've been through some serious times, you've grown some and you've learned some things and you're able to come alongside other people and at least comfort them, pray with them, weep with them, and maybe even say some things you've learned. Growth comes out of pain. Number two, growth after pain. The pain comes first and then comes the growth. You say, what kind of pain is this, Pastor Warren? Look at me, friend. I know your children never had this problem. I'm looking at Joseph back there. Your children are perfect? Your children always come to the table, fold their hands, say, yes, Daddy, teach me the Bible. I know my next door neighbor, I won't say it's from the north or the south, have a perfect family. excuse me, they have a perfect daughter, excuse me. They have a very sweet daughter.
By the way, folks, sometimes, now, of course, not Amber. I know not Amber, and I know not Juanita, but some children do wrong. And occasionally, you have to paddle those children. And what is the point of the paddling? So you learn something. Hello, guess what? Sometimes God has to give us some pain so we learn some things. So growth is after the pain. Look at the text. And I'm going to hurry through this. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. By the way, you wouldn't want to get spanked for the same thing 22 times, would you? That's really stupid. How about this one? It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Psalm 119:75, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Proverbs says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Hebrews 12, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? I mean, everybody gets it. By the way, if you're a Christian, one thing you know, you get a spanking sometimes. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are, and I'll use a nicer term, you're illegitimate and not sons. For they, meaning our parents, verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, God, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, neither afterwards. Nevertheless, afterwards it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So please look at me. Now, folks, this is pretty straightforward. How do we grow? I wish I could say, see, here's the thing. Some people say, I want to grow. Well, the only thing I can pray for is God brings pain into your life. Because I don't believe anybody grows apart from pain. Now, if you're smart, you say, Lord, it's okay. I'll learn from other people's pain. But if you're a little hard-headed, you know, you wouldn't ever want to have to correct. Now, Amber over here is perfect. Kayla was a little more problematic. But Amber, I'm sure she never got a spanking, did she? What? But I'm sure she never got a spanking 10 times for the same thing. Folks, you say, I don't want any pain. Sometimes out of the very midst of pain, God teaches us and we're able to help others. Sometimes God gives us pain and then we grow. Number three, here's where we come to Mrs. Hall. Are you ready for this one? Growth through or with pain. There is this concept of growing through pain or with pain. Read the verses with me, please. The Greek is very important in the text. That's the reason it will be there in these texts. The author of Hebrews says, for everyone that useth milk, here you are, you've been saved 30 years and you're still a baby. And the only thing you can handle is, praise the Lord, I can read Psalm 23. You still can't read Ecclesiastes for the life of you. He says, everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a napios. That word means a non-speaker. That word means an infant before they can even speak. But strong meat, solid food, it belongs to those who are of full age. In the Greek world, in the Greek language, they didn't always use maturity. They would use this. You have a child, and the Greek word telos, which means goal or purpose, the goal of a person being an infant was for you to become an adult. So the author here is kind of using those two terms. If all you can do is drink like a little baby, you're still a non-speaking baby. But for those, look what it says in verse 14, but strong meat, solid food belongeth to those who are of full age. They have gone to maturity. But how did this happen? Look at the language. Even those
who by reason of use have their senses, what's the word? That comes from the Greek word gymnazo, gym. It means, look at me, exercise, exercise, exercise. So the author of Hebrews says, to become to maturity, there has to be some pain, not only out of pain and not only after pain, but there's an element of pain in the very discipline, in the very exercise to discern both good and evil. You will never get to that place without learning to exercise. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 4 in a moment, but look at me, please. I'll come to Mrs. Hall in a minute. 10 years ago, I was talking to a woman in this church. She's no longer here. And this woman, I don't know how we got on this conversation, but I said, you do know that you need to exercise desperately. By the way, Dr. Sachs's book, you read it, Mike, or you're reading it. Christy, you've read it. I've read it. Amy's read it. He said, I don't know if you know this, but males, are you men listening? Males born in this generation, their bone density on average is one-third less than my generation. Their bone density. Did you hear that? When you have bones one-third as thick, what happens to those bones? Have you wondered why your kids are always breaking bones? How do you develop strong bones? Praying? There's not a secret, folks. Women, are you listening? This is just practical medical advice. You need to take calcium. And you need women to lift weights. Because weight plus the absorption of calcium makes your bones stronger. I was telling this woman this, and this woman looked at me and said, but I don't like to sweat. I don't like to sweat. Look at me. Do you know what our problem is in America? We have a whole generation of people that are pain aversion. They're afraid of a little pain. Look at me. There's nothing wrong with a little pain. Look at me. It's a shocker. If you sweat, there's a thing called a shower. And for some of you, Cameron, a little soap and maybe a wire brush. He wasn't listening. I was just getting his attention. That's all. Look at me, friend. It's ridiculous. Look at me. By the way, look up here, ladies. I'll just speak to the ladies. Because, see, this is the thing. I don't care if you exercise or not. You'll just go to heaven earlier. But if you do not exercise, this is what happens. You start seeing it right in this room. You start seeing women looking old before they're old. And they start having the hunched shoulders. And they start having back problems. And all that has happened is, God kind of, I know this is shocking for some people, but God created you to work. And I don't mean work by looking at your Facebook and for 14 hours and you're brain dead. That's not work. That's stupid. Work. Do you know what it takes to grow in grace? Hey, do you know what it takes to grow in grace? Exercise. Some of us just don't like pain. You say, that's hard work. What do you want? You want to grow? Hey, here's how you grow. Time with the Lord, in the Word, and pain. And part of that pain is the pain we go through things. Now, you say, where does Mrs. Hall come in? Most of you know Mrs. Hall had problems with her knees for a long time. She comes by it, honestly, she kicks Mike a lot, and she kind of wore her knees out. But a couple years ago, they got really bad. And this is not a, this woman is not a wimp. She was in pain coming up and down steps and stuff. So last summer, summer before, she had her knees replaced. Now, folks, I've already decided after observing her do that, that if I ever have my knees replaced, she's doing it for me. Now, I don't know how that works, but it's going to work for me. She does, by the way, I doubt very much she was thinking, bring on the pain. But I watched her, and everybody else that had a brain did too, because she understood. I'm not saying she was absolutely perfect, but it was so close you couldn't tell the difference. When the doctors gave her a schedule, here's Pam Hall. I watched her this year, walking up and down those steps.
And she wasn't leaping. It wasn't because she can't leap. She carries books this much. She's carrying, I'm like, what? She has like 40 pounds of books, but she's walking up and down. Look at me. Do you think it was easy? I have people in my family that became invalids because they were afraid of a little pain. Look at me. You'll never become anything until you quit being a sissy. Sorry, am I allowed to say sissy in America? That's not politically correct anymore. Fact is, Mrs. Hall is tougher than most men in this room. Pain, pain. You say, Pastor, how do I grow? Look at me. It's called get in the gym and start working. And that's all it is, friend. This means, look up here, tomorrow morning. Don't you kid me.
Listen, I've already said things tonight. There should be a third of this church enraged at me.
No, you should be enraged at yourself. You should get in the growth process. And some of it is going to be your pain, the day-to-day exercise, work, discipline of doing it. Look at 1 Timothy 4.
Someday I will expand on these. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto what? Guess what language we're using again? Gymnazo. It's gymnaze. It's get in the gym. It's that exercise language. He goes on to say, by the way, that bodily exercise, it doesn't mean it has no profit. Don't make this goofy. He's just saying the exercise of the body has limited profit when you compare it to the exercise unto godliness, because it's profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. In your notes, fight, agonizomai, agony, the good fight, the fight that is related to agony, of faith, lay hold on eternal life. There's something about moving forward that you have to move forward through the pain, with the pain, properly with the pain. I heard Tim McGrail, wise person, last Sunday night we were at Bill's Custard and we were seated together, and he asked Pam something about her knee replacement because he knows sooner or later. Now, Pam got hers because she was kicking Mike. Tim's going to need him because somebody's been kicking him, but I won't say who. But he was asking her questions because I think he wants to know, what do you got to do to recover? Look at me. You want to go someplace in your Christian life, or do you prefer to stay where you've been for 40 years? Here's where it starts. Tomorrow morning, or tonight, or at lunchtime, I don't care when, in the Word, with the Lord, for the next 5 to 10 years, spend the pain of the discipline every day. You'll learn some things. You will. In your notes. You know this. Do I need to say no pain what? You don't believe that, though, do you? You believe there's a way of becoming mature without that, right? I say in your notes, many people are not only risk aversion. Do you know who are risk aversion in here? There's a guy up there in the balcony that's risk aversion. Many, by the way, don't pick on him. There's a lot of you that don't like any kind of thing that gets you out of your little comfort zone. The problem with that, you also don't like anything that has anything to do with pain. Therefore, you never go anyplace. By the way, the very nature of growth means you got to get outside of your little comfort zone and your little nest you have built. So I say in your notes, not only some are averse to risk aversion, they are also pain aversion. They just don't want to deal with pain. I'll say this and be done with this point. We had a great graduation. It was my privilege to see some of our kids, and I mean, I was so happy with this group, Tim, that you brought up here, these kids of excellence. I wish I had a picture of that tonight, because it was just a wonderful group, and there was probably that many again, nearly, at least half that many again that could have been up here, I think. You know, just good kids, smart kids, hardworking. They're having fun, no weirdos, just good kids doing the right things on the whole, studying. And you look at that group, and you'll get people sitting out here that say, Pastor Warren, you're just lucky. Every smart kid I've ever met is awful lucky. They also work awfully hard. And the ones that don't work very hard aren't very lucky. I don't know how that works. anything that we do, you got to work through the pain. You got to work with the pain. We come to the last point. And by the way, the last point I can't preach on because I can't explain. It's my least favorite part. So I want everyone to look at me because I want you to grasp this sermon. Growth comes out of pain. God comforts us in the middle of our tribulation, and then we're able to help others. Growth comes after some pain. God brings some pain in our life, and then we grow. Thirdly, growth comes through pain, or alongside of or with the pain. There's a fourth kind of growth in the Bible. Growth toward pain. This is the weirdest one. Are you willing to grow knowing that growth is going to cause you pain? Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. For unto you, then why in the world would you get saved if you know I'm going to have to go through much tribulation? Why would you do this? Because you know, as you look forward to being with the Lord, in between now and then is going to be various kinds of pain. But that's okay, because where we're going and what we're going to receive is so much better than anything in between. It's growing toward the pain. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. My favorite text, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what pulled him forward? Knowing the result, the salvation of many, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. 1 Peter 4 says, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad with exceeding joy. Let's stand, please.